Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
9:43, Dean Richards, St. Patrick's Day weekend, Sunday morning on WGN. Time for the week in health, and our pal Dr. Jeremy Silver joining us with the latest. There may be a few hangovers this morning, Dr. Silver. Any advice? Is there a really good way to get a bit of the hair of the dog that bit you for the next day after?
Well, if they invented a time machine, Dan, you could go back and redo all those questionable decisions.
Yes,
but in the absence of that, there isn't truly a cure. I know that there are companies out there that pitch the IV vitamin kind of remedy, and I think truly it's the fluid that that fixes it, because you do get dehydrated. Alcohol releases some hormones that cause an increase in urination, and then there's other effects from the dehydration, such as headache and nausea. And of course, the alcohol itself is toxic to cells, so that makes you feel sick. A little bit of ibuprofen, as long as your stomach isn't irritated, may be helpful, but particularly pushing the fluids and getting your stomach full of some food to sort of sop up any remaining alcohol can be helpful. So, crackers or toast, that sort of thing.
Yeah. I'd always heard the rule to, have, water or a sports drink or, something like that to in equal numbers to whatever kind of alcohol you may be consuming, just to fight off that dehydration. So, good luck to anybody who's going to be dealing with that. There are going to be a lot of celebrations going on today. This story about Gene Hackman and his wife just is horrific. The whole thing is horrific. And more details were disclosed this week that it was actually Gene Hackman's wife, Betsy, who apparently died first from hantavirus at the age of 63, that she died, and then Gene Hackman later at the age of 95, with dementia, died several days later. What? Explain hantavirus, and I'd never heard of it. Are people in danger of getting this? Is this something that's fairly common?
It's not common, and yes, I love Gene Hackman, and just on a personal note, and so hearing the story of how things played out during the last days, it's just, it makes you feel bad. But in terms of hantavirus, 864 reported cases in the U.S. since we started surveilling in the 90s. So that's not a ton of cases, but the average mortality rate is almost 50%. So that's a high case fatality index. It's spread by rodents and rodent urine and feces, rodent poop, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And people become infected when they breathe in the air that's contaminated with the virus. So you have dried urine and feces that get stirred up, and then the particles get into the air, and you can get infected that way.
Do there have to be lots of mice? I mean, people get a mouse in their house or, something like that every once in a while. Is that dangerous, or does it have to be someplace that's really infested with mice and a great deal of the feces and urine?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, but just thinking logically about it, there's so many mice, and there's a lot of mice living near people. And this is so rare relative to other illnesses. My guess is it's probably you need a nest. You need a certain burden of excrement in order to generate the aerosols, the aerosolized particles necessary to then actually breathe in a requisite amount to then get you infected. So, and of course, the number of viral particles or the number of bacterial particles will sometimes dictate whether or not you become really sick or fight it off. So long-winded way of saying, my guess is it's in the numbers that's going to get you.
Beware of that, I guess, wherever you may be. I don't know how rural a setting this was. I know that they were living in Santa Fe, New Mexico. It looked like, it didn't look like a house that would be infested, but I guess you never know. Where those things could happen, but what a horrible ending for both of them. A horrible story that ends the life of both Gene Hackman and his wife, Betsy. Measles update. All I keep hearing are stories about this measles outbreak that, I guess is a little more prolific in some parts of the country than others. Where are we with this, and how are we doing with it here in Illinois?
Illinois has yet to see any cases yet. From the last that I heard, plenty of other states have had reported cases, not us. But it's likely a matter of time because this outbreak continues to grow. 300 cases almost at this point in time, and two unvaccinated people have died, one being a child. And just to remind your listeners, measles is a highly contagious virus that's in the air, spreads easily when people cough, sneeze, or breathe. And it's preventable, which is just the sick joke of all this, Dean. It's fully preventable with vaccination, and the vaccine's safe. It doesn't cause autism. All that stuff has been debunked. And so living in the modern age that we do, I think the only way out of this is to vaccinate, so really that's truly the answer to an outbreak is the vaccine, if you have it.
Yeah.
In this case, we have it.
Yeah, I don't want to get political about this, but if you have questions about it, ask your doctor, ask a medical professional about this, because there is so much that's going on right now in this highly volatile political world in which we live regarding healthcare right now. Really, the best thing that you can do, right, is ask your doctor for the best advice on this. Am I correct on that?
Right. I mean, it's pretty simple. If you had a legal problem, you'd talk to a lawyer. If you had a problem with a tooth, you'd talk to a dentist. And so if you have a medical problem, of course, I'm biased.
Yeah.
I would suggest have a conversation with a physician who went to medical school.
Yeah, it all makes good sense to me. Let's take a break and we'll come back with more with Dr. Jeremy Silver. If you've got questions, you've got comments, 312-981-7200. 981-7200 when we return. Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. And also Art calling in from Oak Park. Good morning. You're on WGN.
Good morning. I may be 4 years old. I had measles when I was a little kid 75 years ago. Am I still immune or do I need a vaccine?
Yeah, when we were kids, we all got the measles vaccine. It was required back then. That's a great question.
We didn't. I'm not talking about the vaccine. I'm talking about getting the measles.
Oh, you actually had the measles then. Okay.
Well, of course. Everybody as a little kid 75 years ago, I had the measles.
Okay. Well, not all of us had the measles. So, but many of us, almost everybody did get the vaccine back then, was required. Let's let the doctor answer and tell us, are we still immune from back then?
Yes, sir. You have something we would call presumptive immunity, meaning we presume that based on your exposure to the virus, you have immunity. Now, that becomes a little more of a nuanced discussion when we look at aging, and without drawing in your medical history, any medical problems that you might have. So my suggestion is talk to your physician about your current situation. You might benefit from a booster, or you might be fine. Chances are you probably got a significant amount of immunity still left over.
Now, for those of us that did not get the measles back in the day, but did get the vaccination back then, I remember, in the schools, we were, you lined up, everybody had to get vaccinated. And that was many, many, many years ago. Same thing? Are we still covered with that, or should we all think about getting boosters?
Yeah, if you've had two doses of the booster, you've got like a 97 to 99% immunity. One dose is still in the 90s in terms of your immune ability. But if you there are certain folks between 1957 and 1968, those who were born in that time frame, who the CDC says should really consider a booster. But the bottom line is, talk to your physician and sort that out on a personalized basis.
Yeah, who knew vaccines lasted that long? Because it was a really, really long time ago. Dr. Jeremy Silver, always good to talk to you. He's the medical director, emergency medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. We'll talk to you next week. Doc, thank you so much.
Dean, thank you. Have a good week.
You too. Thank you.